Savior. So we saw in chapter 13 where God had brought them across the desert from Egypt to enter into the promised land. The spies brought back their report. And of course, 10 of the spies said, it can't be done. 2 of the spies said, let's go. And the people believed the 10 spies and said, we can't do it. We are not able to go in, which angered God, provoked God, as he used that word, provoked. And then he threatened, as we saw, to destroy everyone but Moses and start over. Moses interceded again and prayed and rescued Israel. And then God said, because they've tempted me 10 times, and we looked at the 10, we're going to look at them again tonight, they still have to be punished. I won't kill them, but their punishment is to turn and wander the desert for 40 years, and they will all perish in the desert, and they will not get to enjoy the land that I promised them and essentially gave to them. How sad. Amidst all of that, we have this little passage here in verses 22 to 24 that I want to focus on tonight regarding one of the two spies that brought back the good report, which was Caleb. And notice what it says here in verse 22, because all those men, talking about Israel, which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. So our title is Another Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that we would learn tonight. We'd be encouraged from the life of Caleb. And Lord, we would have this same spirit of faith, just to believe and trust that you are with us, that you will always defend and help us. And Lord, that we can always just wait on you. I pray, Lord, that you'd build us in our faith tonight, and that you'd be glorified and guide us. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. So did you see what God listed there in verse 22? They've seen my glory. They've seen my miracles. You would think that would be enough, wouldn't you? They got to see God lead them with the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. They got to see God come down on the tabernacle when Aaron and his sons were ordained to the ministry. They got to see God rain manna from heaven. They got to see God bring water out of a rock. They got to see the 10 plagues of Egypt after they were rescued, and then they got to walk across the Red Sea on dry land. They saw all that. God said, they've seen my glory when he came down to the tabernacle with his cloud and the fire, and they've seen my miracles. He said, shouldn't that be enough for them to believe me? And, of course, it wasn't. He said, instead, they've tempted me 10 times. Now, we reviewed the 10 last week, but I just want to go through them again. But I want us, in our minds, to look at them from a different perspective. Tonight, I want us to look at them and be reminded that in all 10 instances, Caleb did not participate in the provoking or the tempting of God. So quickly, in Exodus 14, when Pharaoh was chasing them and they were trapped next to the Red Sea, what did they do but murmur and say it had been better for them to have stayed in Egypt? Caleb did not murmur. Amen? In Exodus 15, when there was no water at Marah, remember it was bitter water, God healed the waters, but they murmured first. Caleb did not murmur. Exodus 16, when they wanted food, they murmured. And God provided manna and quails. Caleb did not murmur. In Exodus 16, God said, do not leave the manna collected every day for that day. Some people disobeyed when they were supposed to get it in the morning. Some went in the afternoon and found that it had bred worms. Caleb did not do that. And then in chapter 16 as well, Some people tried to gather the manna on the Sabbath day, which God said not to do. Caleb did not participate in that. Exodus 17, when there was no water, they murmured, they complained. Caleb did not murmur. We'll know this here in a moment, you'll see. Exodus 32, when Moses was on the mountain, the people said, we need a God. We don't have Moses. What are we supposed to do? Aaron told them to give them the gold of their earrings and so forth. And what did he do but make them a golden calf? And they worshiped the golden calf and had a big drunken party. Caleb did not participate. Numbers 11, they complained that they missed the food of Egypt. They were tired of the manna. God sent fire among them and burnt many of them and killed them. Caleb did not complain. And then in Numbers 11 as well, they, again, right after being punished, they complained again. And they lusted after the quail. Remember, God provided quail this deep. And as they were chomping down, God killed the ones that lusted. And then in this chapter, at the beginning of the chapter, what did they do but murmur again? Why? Because they didn't believe they could go into the promised land. They believed the report of the 10 spies that it wasn't possible. So they said, we can't do it. And God said, well, since you said you can't, you won't. Isn't that a good lesson? Whatever you do, don't say it can't happen to God. Because you're essentially insulting God's power, which is exactly what they did. And so, remember, Caleb went through every one of those same opportunities to provoke or tempt God. But as we'll see, he did not in any of those instances. But how do we know this? Verse 24, he hath followed me fully. He did not participate in the murmuring, the complaining, or the disobedience. He followed me fully. Why? Verse 24, this is our title tonight, because he had another spirit. Amen? Caleb had another spirit with him. What is this spirit? Well, this is the spirit of faith. This is the spirit of trusting God, no matter what. And we see it. We'll look quickly. Look at Numbers 13:30. This was when the spies came back and gave their report. And after the 10 spies had said, well, there's giants and walled cities and we can't do it, Caleb in verse 30 of Numbers 13 said, he stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. This is right after the 10 spies said, we are not able. Same situation, same promised land, same giants, same walled cities. 10 said, we are not able. Caleb and Joshua said, we are well able. Amen? That's the spirit of faith. When you don't have the spirit of faith, you say, you look at the circumstances and say, it can't be done. When you do have the spirit of faith, you look at the circumstances and say, those don't mean anything. If God said it could happen, it's going to happen. We're well able. Amen? Then up in verses 8 of chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, again, Caleb spoke, and he said, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Caleb wasn't a preacher, but he stood for God. Amen? He stood for what God said he would do. He had this spirit of faith. And I believe with all my heart that's the exact spirit God wants us to have. The spirit of faith. Now, he mentions it in 2 Corinthians 4:13, if you want to go there quickly. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Notice it says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. This is the spirit that God wants us to have, the spirit that Caleb had, the spirit of faith. Also, if you look at Romans 4, God used Abraham as an example of one that had this spirit. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. If you want to turn there quickly. It says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform." Strong in faith just means that you believe that God keeps his promises. And that if God says he'll do something, God will do it. That's what it says. He staggered not at the promises of God. Talking about Abraham. This is the spirit that Caleb had. The spirit of faith. Faith, of course, Hebrews 11, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's God's definition of faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So notice back in our passage, Numbers 14, verse 24, it says, "He had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully." He didn't stagger at the trials that everyone else staggered at. He didn't complain. And now, when it comes to the promised land, he believes that God will give it to us. He followed me fully. And then God says, "And now I'm going to reward him. Him will I bring into the land, and his seed shall possess it." Now he has to wait 40 years. That's quite a wait, isn't it? Caleb, you can have your piece of the land, but you got to wait 40 years. That's a long time to wait, isn't it? So just remember that he was present all those 10 times that they tempted and provoked God. But he now gets the privilege of entering into the promised land. Why? Because he had the spirit of faith. He is going to be able to cross the Jordan with everyone else and get his piece of the land. His spirit of faith resulted in believing God and obeying God. Now, if you want to go to Joshua 14, we'll see God rewarding Caleb for having this other spirit. We'll eventually get there when we get to Joshua, but it'll be, I don't know, a year, year and a half, 2 years, who knows. But in Joshua 14, verse 6, it's a beautiful passage. Look at it carefully. "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day." Look at this last phrase. "Because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." The spirit of faith, the spirit of obedience. This is the spirit that Caleb had. And look, not only was he rewarded, but his generations of his family were rewarded and got this piece of the promised land. Why? Because I wholly followed the Lord my God, and his faith hasn't wavered. He says there, I shall be able to drive them out. These giants, give me the mountain. He says there, give me this mountain. So this is the spirit that God wants us all to have. The promised land awaits. Amen. The victorious Christian life that Jesus promised. He says, I'm come. They might have life, John 10:10, and they might have it more abundantly. Jesus said, it's yours. I've already given it to you. I've already died for you, risen again for you. I've given you this land, but you've got to go in and take it. And by the way, you're going to have to fight some battles. Caleb had to go fight for this piece of land. He had to climb up that mountain and fight giants with his sword. God didn't knock down the walls. God didn't kill the giants. He had to go kill the giants. But he said, if God's with me, I'm going to kill the giants. Amen? And my friend, there's a lot of giants that are telling you that you cannot have the victorious Christian life. But you can slay every single one of them with God's power. Don't forget that. Don't listen to the devil telling you that it can't be done. Listen to Caleb, who says it can be done. If God's with me, I'll do it. I don't care if I'm 85 years old. I don't know. Some of you that have been around a little while remember Dr. Newell. And he contacted me when I told him that our Bible college was growing. This was back around 2002 or so. I can't remember the exact date. And he emailed me and he said, Pastor Shane, I'd really like to come help in the Bible college, but I'm 80, I think at the time he was about 83. I can't remember. He says, so I understand if you think I'm too old to come over and help. And I said, well, Caleb was 85, so come on, brother. And he came and helped us for 2 years in his 80s. What a blessing. It's never too late to have the spirit of faith. Amen. It's never too late to have the spirit of obedience. Say, I want the promised land. I want the victorious Christian life. I know I've got to fight for it. I know there's going to be some battles. You know, I could just wander in the desert like a lot of Christians and just wait for Jesus to come. Or I could get serious about serving God, serious about my Christianity, and cross the Jordan River and take the mountain with God's help. And that mountain represents what God wants us all to have. A fruitful Christian life, making a difference for the cause of Christ. Amen? So this man, Caleb, he had another spirit, but let us never forget the poor guy had to wait over 40 years. He had to watch all of his friends die. All of the people that were his age at the time. He was 40 at the time. Everybody over 20 had to die in the desert as punishment, except for those two men, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua became the new leader who replaced Moses, who is now imparting to Caleb, the other man, his land. Why? I wholly followed the Lord. I shall be able to drive them out. I can do this. He never wavered, did he? He told the people, don't fear. God's with us. He'll bring us in. We're well able. The other spies are saying we're not able. Which is it? Well, it's up to you. If you don't believe God can do it, you're not able. And if you do believe God can do it, you're well able. It's up to us, isn't it, whether we trust God. But without faith, my friend, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please Him. It's impossible. And it was a lack of faith that led the Israelites to their drawn-out 40-year punishment. There in verse 11 and 14, the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? When will they believe me? Let's not be that Christian that God says, when will they believe me? When the Son of Man cometh, Luke 18:8, shall he find faith on the earth? God says, when will they believe? What does it take? Another spirit. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Caleb. Thank you for his example. Thank you for his faith, his simple, childlike faith that you want us all to have, Lord. That we would never question you, never doubt you, never murmur about our circumstances. But we, like Caleb, would believe that you have great things planned for us and that we would go and take them. Fight the battles we need to fight to be the Christian you want us to be. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't just agree to this, but we would go forward. We would pick up our sword and we would go fight until Jesus comes. Help us to have that other spirit.